Never heard that one before. So it's, you know, the wonder about church is that, and I want to speak this morning, and it's about just the pole plant again and the value. I want to preach around on the value of church planting and really look at, like, what are we doing and why do we plant churches? And this is important for every single one of us as saints, as leaders. Doesn't matter who you are, even if you're as a visitor, it doesn't matter, is that we're looking at something that is God's strategy for reaching people. It's through the church. And we're going to look today at just a couple of scriptures dealing with that, and I'm going to get Fritz just to share towards the end as well, just in light of where we're going. And how many of you were here 2 weeks ago on the Wednesday night at the Combined Com? I think a lot of you were here. If you weren't here, I'll just give you a bit of a recap again. But, you know, just thank God for the service so far. Thank the Lord that we don't serve a dead Christ. You know, we got to work for, and we got to, like, God, can we get your attention? You know, it's like we've got to somehow get, we serve a living Christ who works on our behalf, who comes and he answers prayer and he breaks through in our lives. We don't serve a dead Christ. And thank God that we serve a living Christ, that nothing is too difficult for him. He comes through and provides for us. He speaks to us. This God leads us and guides us. Isn't that a wonderful God that we serve? And so, thank the Lord for who he is. So we're in a very exciting season in the life of the church. I know it's also a very tumultuous time, just I'm encouraged by a lot of the prayers that came through just for, you know, the country and just the climate of our nation at the moment. And there is a lot of fear around. But in the midst of that, our God is working. And I think that's what faith is. You know, it's the ability to see God at work, even when you don't always see the evidence, but to know that God is at work according to his word. And that's what sets us apart as Christians. But one of the things we are doing, we are taking a leap of faith, as many of you know, with the Paul church plant, which is really exciting for us, but also in one way very daunting for us. And so what that means is something we've been planning and trusting for actually quite a few years now. I think probably about 4 or 5 years, there's been, you know, prayers and talks and desires to plant into Paul. And the reason is because we've got a whole bunch of people that drive from Paul every Sunday to be part of, not just every Sunday, but they're involved in the life of the church. And as we plant into Paul, I think most of you know, but Ruan Slubbert, that led this congregation and went to Melkbos, Ruan will be planting, he'll be taking the lead, and he'll be the point guy on the ground in Paul, taking the lead there, which is super exciting. And so I know, you know, we're in the process of obviously sending out half our eldership team and about 40 of our members and at least 20 of our children that will be going across that live in Paul in the area. And so, you know, even on our eldership team, it'll be Cassie and Marty, Fritz and Elika, and Sean and Zana. They'll be going across being part of that Paul plant. But this morning, often when we hear the news, a bit like Marinus, where's Marinus? Like he shared earlier, where is he? There he is. Like it's like, not amen, it's ana, you know? People don't say amen. Some of you say, ana, why? You know, we're such a happy family right now. Things are going so well. Why do we have to, like, split up the family? I mean, this is glorious. Why do we need to do that? I mean, aren't there enough churches in Paul anyway? And so this morning, what I want to do is answer some of those questions, but specifically look at the value of church planting. And I want to start off with this, that church planting, you know, there's the great commandment, the great commission that's given at the end. It's one of the last words of Jesus in Matthew 28. And what does Jesus say? Jesus didn't say, stay and be comfortable and let all the people come to you. Jesus said, go into all the world, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And there's a command to make disciples. Now, the one thing about the Bible that I love is that when you read your Bible, is that the Bible, especially the Gospels are documentary into the life of Jesus. But the book of Acts is a documentary into how the early church interpreted the command of Jesus to go and make disciples. And we see them, if you read the book of Acts, it's like this action book that from step to step, from moment to moment, they're going to make disciples and empowered by the Holy Spirit to go and to put into practice Matthew 28. Like, how do they do it? And the big question is, how did they make disciples of all nations? How did they go? Well, in many senses, they didn't want to go. I think to start there. And so if you read the account, they all were very cozy in Jerusalem. I mean, it was nice there. It was like all the apostles were in Jerusalem. And the word apostle actually means sent one, one who goes. And yet they were all living in Jerusalem until persecution broke out and they were forced to go. They actually didn't go necessarily on their own. God literally had to kick them out the nest. Fly, little birdie. I don't want to fly. It's comfortable in Jerusalem. No, we're going to send you. And the early church spread, and the gospel went out into the nations, not just because of leaders that went, but because of nameless, faceless saints that went and took the good news of what they had experienced and shared it with the towns and the villages that they went into. And the story of the early church is this wonder that God uses people, saints, not high-profile leaders. You don't have to be a celebrity for God to use you. You don't have to have a degree for God to use you. These people, if you read Acts, they all went, well, many of them went, but we don't know who they are. We don't know their names, but we know that they seem to change the world because of the power of the message that they carried. And so if you look at Acts, it's like Acts, we see that there was discipleship that happened through churches that were planted. Now, what I'm going to do this morning is, so I'm sharing around this, and this isn't necessarily a word for you, like how does this benefit me right now? It does, but I'm trying to bring in a value that's very, very important for us, the way we do church. And if you are going to stick around, and if you have been part of this church, or even Josh Jen, for an extended period of time, even if you're in the kingdom of God, it's like change is normal. You know, be prepared for things to change. And I like what Marina said. He said, maybe in the church he was part of, the traditional church, nothing ever changed. Niks het verander nie. Maar baie verander in die koninkryk van die Here. And change is normal, and it means sometimes saying goodbye to friendships, welcoming new friendships in. It means sometimes relocating. But, you know, this world, there's a reason you're here. That's because to advance the kingdom of God. And as you'll see now is that the church is God's primary mission under heaven to go and make disciples. When the early church goes, and I want us to jump in. Let's jump in, and then I'll jump in. Acts 14, 19 to 23. And so I want to start with the scripture dealing with just an example of how the kingdom of God, how people were discipled in the early church. And let's look at Acts 14, and it says, "But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowd, they stoned Paul and dragged him out the city, supposing that he was dead." And so what's happened here is Paul, who's a missionary, he's an apostle, he's going around preaching the gospel into different places and countries, and people don't like what they're hearing, and they stoned him, literally. They took rocks, and they tried to stone him to death. But when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and entered the city, and on the next day, he went on with Barnabas to Derbe. Now, this guy's pretty hardcore. I mean, the next day, he stands up, and he goes to the next city to go and preach again. It's like, what are you doing? Aren't you like, you're a sucker for punishment. Why would you, you've been stoned. Why don't you give up? But he so believed in the message of the gospel that he understood that people needed to hear about Jesus Christ, the living hope. And so he goes on to the next city. Let's look in verse 21. "When they preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch." And so what they do is he's preaching the gospel, and then he goes round again, and he goes back to the places that he preached the gospel to, where there were Christians and believers there. Verse 22 says, "Strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God." Let's look at the next one. "And when they had appointed elders for them in every church." With prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. And so what he did is he started churches, as you can see. He appointed leaders. He didn't just go and start a coffee shop. He didn't go into the town. And in the ancient days, one of the things they used to do, they would have wrestling clubs. Do you know that? They would have ancient athletic clubs where they would practice the ancient forms of wrestling. Paul didn't say, I know, let's go and reach our community by starting a CrossFit gym. Let's go and start a gym, a wrestling club. And then we can reach people into meeting that need. No, no, no. What does he do? He starts a church. And we find that, friends, is that God's way to reach a community is through planting churches. God's way is not through starting a coffee shop, although God can use that. But his primary way, under heaven, that's the way he reaches into communities. So I want to ask you this question. Let's also read Acts 16, 6 to 10. And here's Paul again. Now, this is a phenomenal scripture about even being led by the Holy Spirit. And he says here, and they went through the region of Phrygia, Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. It's like, what? So they wanted to go, and the Holy Spirit said to them, no, don't go into Asia. I don't want you to go there. The timing wasn't right for them to go. God had a different assignment for him into a different place. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to. So sometimes God says no. And in many senses with Paul, you know, we try to look at planting the Paul congregation a year ago. And we were set, we'd prayed about it, we were just waiting for the right leader, and we wanted to do, but the Lord said no. Don't do it yet. Even though we had many people driving through, this is like the time's not right. And sometimes God's timing is always important. Anyway, and it carries on. Let's go through. So passing by Mysia, they went on to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there urging him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And so Paul, as he has this vision, he realizes that this is the Lord speaking to him. And so what he does is he changes direction, and he goes into a city called Philippi in the area of Macedonia. And in that city, they preach the gospel. They meet a lady by the name of Lydia. And Lydia was a businesswoman, and she and her household gets saved, and the church starts meeting in their home, and that becomes a base for the gospel to reach into the community of Asia and into Macedonia. And you know, these are two examples of the way that God, the strategy is into reaching a community and reaching a place. And I want to ask you the question this morning, what does Wellington need and what does Paul need above everything else? What do they need? Do we need more movie theaters? I mean, it'd be great if maybe Wellington had a steak in a call. I mean, I would love it. It would be great. Or maybe had the latest restaurant that's nowhere else. Maybe if Paul had, you know, something that it doesn't have at the moment, some kind of club or not dancing club, like, you know, athletics or social club or whatever. Moving on. But that's not what Paul needs. What Paul needs is they need churches. What Wellington needs, it needs healthy churches. And there's been the question that some of us have asked. The question is this, but aren't there enough churches in Paul? Aren't there enough churches in Wellington? Why is there a need to keep planting churches? And obviously, we mustn't just go to our area. We've got to go into the nations, into hard places, into unreached places. But right now, the one reason is we believe that obviously because we've got a group of people there, that God has got an assignment for us in Paul. We do believe that. And I have personally seen, you know, I've been involved in a number of church plants and church two at least in the beginning of Josh Jen and in Oatsawn in 2004. Josh Jen in 99. And each time when we planted those two churches, we planted River of Life in 2004 and Josh Jen in 99. Both those times, in the same time, there were other churches in the area. And those pastors probably would have thought, why do we need more churches in the area? Not only that, but when we planted Josh Jen in 99, there was a church down the road that was planted, a sister church from also the same movement we're part of, that was planted about 4 kilometers down the road. And like, if we knew that, maybe, you know, and then But I want to say to you that it actually benefited the whole community. Everyone actually benefited from it. When we were in Oudtshoorn in 2004, we went to Oudtshoorn, we planted River of Life, we were sent out from Josh Jen. The same month that we planted the church in Oudtshoorn, we hear about another church plant in the town in the same month. We're like, Jesus, like, maybe we shouldn't have come. And it was God's design to do both. And you know what? Both churches benefited the community. And the picture that I have is almost one of a tide, that if you're in a harbor and all the boats are in the harbor, when the life comes and the tide rises, it's like all the boats benefit, all the boats rise. And I've honestly seen that when there are healthy churches that are communities of light breaking into the darkness, or places of the kingdom of God and the presence of God, when there are places like that, friends, everyone benefits. I've honestly seen it. I don't know, understand the way it works, because at the end of the day, there are a lot of people to be reached in every area we plant churches in. Do you know that church attendance is declining all over the place? There are less and less people going to church today than ever been in the past. We need healthy churches to rise up, and the end of a movement is when you stop planting churches. And so for now, we're planting there, and you might say, but are you just starting a Sunday service? And you know, we don't plant Sunday services. We don't start a meeting. That's part of it. But we start with the people. And I think a good reminder of this question, let me ask you this question. What is church? If I have to ask you, and you've got to write it down on a piece of paper, wat is kerk? Wat is die kerk? What is the church? And you have to write that down. What would your answer be? What is the church? Maybe we can do that quickly. Let's do a bit of a Q&A right now. Okay, what is the church? Who can tell me what is church? TMT students aren't allowed to say anything. But they probably get it wrong, so I don't want them to embarrass me because I'm involved in TMT. So what is church? Who can tell me? What do you understand church to be? We. There's no I in church. Well done. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. A community. It's good. Stella? The body of Christ functioning together. It's good. Joseph? Church is you and I. It's very good. Anyone else? This is good. All very good. So that is part of church. Another way to look at church is not a place, primarily. Church is a people. It is you and I. It's the body of Christ functioning. Church, so when we plant a church, we're not planting a meeting. We're planting a group of people that are in community with one another, that bring the presence of God and the life of God into an area. That is church. And so when we plant into Paul, what we are saying is we're saying we're a group of people, then instead of driving all the way to Wellington, we're going to root ourselves in the area, and we want to make a difference in our community, because we want to function as something healthy, as a witness to our community. And so, friends, you know, I've had this picture that when we've been praying for this move to take place, and as it happens in October, for it to take place, I've had a picture of a nest. And the nest right now in Wellington is too full. It's like there's a lot of chicks in that nest. It's a big nest, but there's a lot of eagles sitting in that nest right now. There's some big eagles, some little eagles, and that nest has got very constrained. It's like, and no one wants to move. And the picture that I had is, I believe the Lord is taking the nest and he's shaking the nest and he's kicking some out, saying, right, I have to send you. But like the people in Jerusalem, I'm going to make you go. No, but I don't want to go. It's comfortable here. And the Lord's shaking the nest and he's causing growth and going to take place. And what happens is there's some of you that have, even that are going to stay in Wellington, that maybe you've been in the nest too long, but you're going to learn how to create room for yourself, spread your wings, and learn how to exercise the gifts God has given you. And I feel like for those of you that are going to Paul, or for those of you that are staying in Wellington, is that there's a reboot that's taking place. And I want to ask you to position yourself in the Lord, that the Lord, even within you, would do a reboot and bring something new about, even in your own life, of him using you in ways that you've never dreamed. I really believe that. And so, the heart behind this is because we're a movement that plants churches. Our aim, we've been doing a church planters course in Sunningdale in Cape Town. I think there's been about 300 people attending the church planters training on a Tuesday night. And one of the things that we're feeling at the moment in the Lord as well is, I think with there are people moving out the country at the moment as well. I mean, that's just the reality. There's movement that's happening. But the people that are going, we believe that they're going to go as though it's going to be sent by the Lord. And where they're going to go into their communities, even all over the world, I'm telling you, things are going to happen in the Lord. And, you know, something that happened, I'll share a story with you, just on one of the church plants that happened about a year and a half ago. We've got a couple from Cape Town, Gerrit and Gerrit Lutz. And this guy was a business owner. He was part of the church, our Josh Chen congregation in Sunningdale, loved the Lord, but he was kind of, he was just a saint in the congregation. I think he led a community group. He wasn't an elder or, you know, one of the pastors. And they relocated to Richards Bay for work. And, you know, that they were prayed out. They didn't just go on their own. They submitted it to the elders and worked it through. And they were prayed out and they went to Richards Bay. And there was just nothing there that for them could resemble healthy, authentic New Testament church. They looked at one or two churches, but they were really, really dissatisfied. And they had felt the Lord say to them, I want you to start a home group in your home with the aim of planting a church. And they said, and they wrestled with God. They said, God, no, this is crazy. We can't do that. Like, who are we? We nobodies. You know, I know God uses nobodies to tell everybody about somebody. You know, we know that whole thing. Yes, Lord, I know, you know, but we really are nobodies. Like, who are we, Lord? And God said, and they really felt on their hearts, they've got to go and plant something, not as a way of competing against other churches, but they honestly wanted a sense of an authentic sense of a healthy church, an expression of that in their area that they felt the Lord wanted to use them in. And so they obviously had worked it through with the Josh, us in Cape Town, Josh Jen, and Andrew said, well, go for it. Let's just see how it goes. If it doesn't work out, just join a local church. And they said, no, we feel like we need to start something. And today, a year and a half, 2 years later, it's about two years later, that church, they are over 100 adults, and they are planting out their first church into northern KwaZulu-Natal. How's that? They are planting a church out of that base. They've got elders that they've released. They've sent someone down to TMT last year, James, who was from that church. We sent him back, and he's one of their youth leaders today because of the equipping and the investing that happened right here in Wellington. Friends, that was a saint, and our model in church planting is that God can use anybody. I mean, he's used me. When we planted before, we honestly never thought that God would use us. Because if you know me, it's like, Lord, you would use me? I'm not charismatic, I'm not, you know, the most, but God, you've used me. And I know if he can use me, he can use us. And the model of the way that we've done church over the years is we've never built around a pastor. We've never built our ministry around the man of God, you know, who's on the platform and he comes with, you know, he's got his bodyguards and he appears during worship. There might be churches like that. Or he's just the untouchable, but he's the one, the gifted one that is always... He's the mouthpiece of the Lord. The way we've always built church is that God has used saints. We build around a priesthood, a people that says that every person is important and God can use you. That is the strength of how we do church. And so as we go into Paul, we're going with that ethos, that model, that we're going with that, and we believe that God wants to bring something of an expression into the area. We really do. And so that is our heart behind this, friends. We believe that the people living in there that God has added them to Josh Jen, to this family, we believe that we know that God wants to use them for something. So in light of that, Fritz has had something on his heart that he wanted to share just as we are working through this together, and I'd like him to share it.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks. I think Mike did a wonderful job of casting the vision and why we do church planting and everything. I just thought I wanted to deal with things that we might be struggling through emotionally, and that's the beauty of being in a team. You know that you know, being a team of elders and being a team of people, we see more angles. So the one side is the excitement and everyone jumps up and down, but I really struggled with it. Part of the model, part of the way we do church, is that we have real relationships. And those relationships are going to change. They are going to change. There's many people that we see every Sunday. We take it for granted. It might be a hug here and there. It might be a hello. We've prayed together. But there are real relationships. There are men that I've spent, I don't know how many men's camp with, these things are going to change. And I think if we just say, yeah, we're going, and like almost like Marna said, what's wrong with me? There's nothing wrong with you. If you had real relationships, there should be a matter of hurt. There should be a matter of loss that you're experiencing. And I went through that because this is, we came here about 14 years ago. So where's Bernard? Is Bernard, he's outside car guard. But he got dedicated in first love then. And he wasn't duped. He was duped later. But so we this is all we know. We've been part of churches before. We've gone to meetings and we've heard the preach. But this is the first time we've experienced church in real relationships. And I must say, God did a lot in our lives through that. This is where we started speaking in tongues. This is where I went on my first outreach. This is what we know. And this is changing now. And if we're going through that, I'm sure there are people that are going through it as well. Especially the people that have been here longer. It doesn't matter. But some people form relationships quicker. But I also want to say, if you don't experience this and you're thinking, what are you on about? I really pray that God will knit relationships between you and the people in this congregation, wherever you are, to such an extent that there is a real sense of loss or hurt when you go through this. Because I've realized that God does a lot through other believers in our lives. That's the way He's created it. I don't know why He can do the. He could have done everything by Himself, and He uses the church. And part of using the church is He forms us in between one another. So I want to say to Marnas and everyone who feels like that, there's nothing wrong with you. You can feel that way. And that's fine. So, but the thing is, what do we do with that? Because we are emotional beings. When we watch a sad movie, we get teary. I start getting teary. If we experience joy, we laugh. We do experience these emotions. And I think the key is not to discard them and say, it's just happy. Just take a moment and pause to it. But I think the way that we've lived is that we are not ruled by emotions. We experience emotions, we can acknowledge it, but we are not ruled by it. They say that the brave among us are not those who don't experience fear. They experience fear, but in spite of the fear, they forge ahead. If you never experienced fear when you did something, you're not brave, you're mad. Because you don't see the danger. There needs to be a correct estimation of what's going to happen for you to experience fear. But in spite of that, the brave forge forward. And I want to say, I think that's the way I see it. It's the key is not in disregarding my emotions, but the key is to acknowledge those relationships. And I'm thanking God for them. I'm thanking God for the relationship that had been formed. I'm blessing the people who are staying behind. Hopefully we'll see one another still in men's camps. But the relationships are going to change, and we need to settle that in our hearts. I think the picture I've got about it is, you know, we've had two children leaving home. And, you know, if you think, yay, they're going out, then probably then you didn't have a very healthy relationship with your kids. There should be a matter of celebration. But it's not only celebration. There's a real miss. You know, they speak about the empty nest syndrome. There is a miss with it. And we all have to adapt. But the key, again, is to say, look, I'm really going to miss my daughter went out first and my son. You know, some went farther and some were Emil's in Durban. Helma's luckily in Stellenbosch. We see her more often. But there is a change that you have to deal with. But the key, you can't stand still. We can't keep the children in the house. There's nothing worse than a 30-year-old still watching telly and sitting in his parents' house. That's not how we raise our kids. And it's the same in church. You know, we all long to some extent to keep everything like it is. But that's not church, and that's not what we are here for. So I just want to encourage you, Marnas, nothing wrong with you. We can have these emotions and we can acknowledge them. And you know what? If we didn't have any of these emotions, then maybe nothing was real. Because, I mean, if we really had relationships, we're praying for another and we love one another, then there needs to be some emotional component to it. So I just want to encourage you, you're normal, but we're going to move through it, acknowledge it, deal through it. And I think the big thing is the prize that's ahead of us. We want to follow Jesus, and we're gonna make new relationships, and we're gonna thank Him for the relationships we've had here and what He's done in our lives. Amen.
So in closing, and as we do this, we want to drip feed this through going up to October, because we deal with this as a church, as a family together, and that's why we do this, because we're a family, and it impacts every single one of us. And I want to end with this picture of what about the rest of us? And it's a picture that is one of two ships, of a battleship and of a cruise ship. And, you know, it's something that with the army of God, when you read the New Testament, there's no doubt that, like, when you get saved into the kingdom of God, you're not in for a cruise. You know, as leaders, we don't come and you sit in the sun drinking your cocktail on the cruise ship by the swimming pool. And as leaders, we have to come and serve you. What can we help you with? Can we get that to you? And we run around as like the servants on the ship. There are churches like that. We're not one of them. And if you want to be on a church like that, I'm sure you can go join a cruise ship. But the kingdom of God, there is a war to be fought. There's a battle to be won. There's a kingdom to be extended. We really are, in a sense, all hands on deck. You're not the one sitting by the swimming pool. There are times like that where all the soldiers can sit by the swimming pool. But man, we need all hands on deck for the sake of the kingdom of God to advance and to move forward. And I want to ask you, in your heart, are you prepared to say, Lord, I'm part of I have a wartime mentality, as John Piper says. I don't have a peacetime mentality. I'm in a spiritual war, and that means that I have to activate myself and put my hand up and say, here I am, God, use me. That is what we're about, friends. We're not into cruising through the Mediterranean. We are sailing into dangerous territories. But that is the best place to be. In the kingdom of God. And so I want to pray for us as we close, just that in our hearts that you would position yourself, whether you're going or whether you're staying. If you're staying, that, man, there are very exciting season for the Wellington congregation coming up. But I want you to position your heart this morning to ask the Lord, Lord, use me. I don't want to be a spectator, God. I want to be someone that is giving myself into the purposes of God in my generation. So let's pray for that. Father, we want to thank you for this morning and for your presence among us. We thank you, Lord, that you're raising up a people. Peter says that you're raising up a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, a people belonging to God. And we thank you and acknowledge this morning that we're not just a people that have been saved to be happy, that have been saved so that we can just have a nice life. Lord, you've saved us into holiness. You've saved us into being used by you, into be a vessel for the kingdom of God. And Lord, this morning again, we want to position ourselves to say, Lord, we want to be part of that people, the holy nation, the people belonging to God that have been bought with the price of the precious blood of Jesus. And we want to acknowledge this morning that we are not our own, that we belong to you, Lord. We're the sheep of your pasture. We belong to you, that you are the shepherd of our souls. And Lord, we entrust ourselves to you, Lord. Even as we start this process, we pray for such a sense of purpose and of joy. Maybe even for some, Lord, here today, that they've said, Lord, how can you ever use me? That you, Lord, would begin to use them as your mouthpiece, as your hands and feet. That as they just say, Lord, I'm available. Thank you. That's all we need to do, Lord, is say, I'm available. Not I'm qualified. I'm available. And oh Lord, we each want to say, we're available. Would you just say in your heart, Lord, I'm available. Lord, I want to be used. Lord, I don't want to sit back. God, sign me up for the battleship, for the purposes of God in my generation. Oh, thank you, Lord. And Lord, thank you that we've got a will to reach, that we want to go into the four corners of the earth, Lord. Oh, we really do, Lord God. Father, there might even be some here today that you've called into going to nations, into hard places where there is no lights, where there are no churches. Oh God, would you come and raise us up as a people who would go in Jesus' name. For those of us who are staying, Lord, we want to stay with the intent to be used in your name. Amen.